हरिः ॐ
Besides portioning out sensory facilities to the different grades of the embodied soul, the Urat Purush gives the living being shelter. Furthermore, all that any individual may obtain in life, good or bad, lust, frustration, ignorance, and death, or on the other hand, religious principles, truth, and transcendental knowledge, is sourced in the Lord's grace cosmic form. The Virat covers every creature, created being in the universe as past, present, and future. Yet the Lord himself is timeless and beyond all in creation. His personal form is transcendental and does not exceed 9 inches. Yet, like the powerful sun in the sky, he maintains all below him by his powerful energies. His personal abode is the Tripod of Bhuti, the destination of those who, seeking immortality, do not yield to sensory impulses. Persons in family life or who break vows of celibacy must take birth again in the Ekapada Bhuti, the material manifestation. The Lord rules over both nescience and true knowledge, matter and devotional service alike. Everything in the universe comes from him. Yet as the sun is different from its rays, he remains aloof from the creation. Footnote 31. It is noteworthy that the terms Tripad and Ekapada Bhuti are to be found in Purusha Shukta. Tripad Udva Udai Purushaha Padosheha Bhavat Punaha. So it's just going through all the different aspects that are there, because it's talking about that primary creation, right? The Virat Purush. So, because you have these aspects here, is you have the desire to enjoy the senses, right? It means through the senses. So that's a principle. Right, that you want to see, you want to hear, you want to taste. Right, but then there's the man. Then there is what you hear through, what you hear, what you see through, what you see. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the two levels of gross and subtle of Brahma before Chaturmukti Brahma.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? Because the Lord desires to taste. Right? So then there is tongue and things to taste. So that's the two principles. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then if there is no jiva who's qualified, then that second aspect of Brahma, right, then is able to manifest everything. It means able, he's the Lord. Right? So if there's a jiva qualified, then a jiva does it. In the growth, in the external sense, right? So, in the subtle, I heard that you say on the platform of the Lord, then there's the subtle and gross of the concept or the principle,
yes.
Right? Then there's the manifestation of that concepts through the gross manifestation that Brahma does, right? So, does this make sense?
Yes.
Right? So, the first principle, Hiranyagarbha, is that enjoying principle. That you want to enjoy means, because how are you going to enjoy? You're going to do it through the senses. It's simple. We think of unlimited things, but it still comes down to hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's still what it comes down to. There is an outside of those five. That's how you get all the information. That's how it's all processed.
Yes.
Right? Then from that, then so many different, that's in so many situations. There's so many results, there's so many feelings. But it comes down to this, so that's the original one. So that's where the Virat Purush, he is the sensory faculties, and then the distribution of that to all the living entities according to their nature, to their karma. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
So that's on the principle level.
Yes. Like that. And then as Paramatma, we see that he is then within every heart, and according to the living entity, then they get the results of their good and bad. So therefore, that whole Virat Purusha is control, is run or managed by Kirudakshaya Vishnu. Right? Yes. But in that one principle, it is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, because he's who expands as it. But as Kirudakshaya Vishnu, then it's applied to every living entity. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now Brahma recounts his birth from the lotus flower that grew from the nail of Vishnu. He tells how that at the time he made sacrifice, using only the limbs of the subtle Virat, since there was nothing else to be offered. This, the first of all Vedic yajñas, is the focus of the Purusha Shukta hymn. After Brahma, 9 leading personalities among the sages and demigods performed this yajña. Sacrifices after that were performed by the Manus, human beings and daityas, etc. In order to maintain the cause of manifestation for all such grades of beings, the Lord accepted the modes of nature, but personally he has no affinity for any material quality. Right? So he's accepting because he has to work it. If it's all the Lord, right? Because we're dealing in what? We're dealing in the capacity of the Lord interacting with the living entities. Right? That's the principle of relationship, the principle of rasa. So the natural position on the transcendental platform is the Lord, and the living entities are interacting based on that affection, mm-hmm. on love. When it's not there, then the living entity can't relate on that position. Right? So that's not going to work, as we discussed, is that neither it's a reality and neither does anybody else want to work with it. Mm-hmm. Right? So only the shadow of the internal potency will work with it. Right? So then, yes.
Then what would be the basis of relationship if it's not affection?
Lust. That means if you, we see, it's interesting, if you take the 5 levels of consciousness, you know, because we always start Anamaya Pranamaya, because that's the perspective we work from. Mm-hmm. But if you reverse that, then it's very interesting. Is that Anandamoy means the platform of love of God and interacting based on that, right? So now we drop down one. What is that position? It's the spiritual position of the nature of the soul in that. Now, what do you do in that position? How do you express the love in that spiritual position? Through your particular duties, following whoever you're supposed to work with. Now, performing your duties, what happens? What do you get from that? You get results. Right, so then that's, you know, how you say, artha, right? So then, and what are those results for? For Krishna's sensual pleasure, right? So it works perfectly the other way, right? So now what we've done is that love has transformed into lust, or the potential. Instead of cultivating our natural position into love, we've cultivated into lust. So therefore, it's not on the spiritual platform, it's on the platform of ignorance. So therefore, any duties we perform, we expect to get results for our sense gratification.
Yes.
Yes. Right? And so since it's that about our sense gratification, now, you know, that whole thing is there, that's actually descending, but how we function from here. Mm-hmm. And then there's the idea of going back up. Mm-hmm. But going back up, it's not that then you utilize it in that reversed way. You transform it. So that the lust becomes love, the platform of the existence of ignorance becomes the spiritual existence. The duties are because of following in the parampara. The results are instead of for us or for Krishna. Right? And then the sense gratification is Krishna's, not ours. When he's pleased, we'll be pleased. So we see is that the soul still has to function in these capacities, even in the conditioned state. That's how, because they're souls, they're living entities. But it's perverted, the whole thing. Therefore, perverted reflection. Mm. Right? Reflection is the same thing, but it's perverted because now instead of it being based on Krishna, it's based on ourselves. But otherwise, it's the same principle. That's why the mechanics are the same, everything's the same. Does Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it's just like you have the person, you have the mirror. What's in the mirror looks exactly the same, but it's not. Right? And that's the standard perspective. Now you can go and look from the side of the mirror and start to get very strange, you know, shapes and stuff.
Yes.
Right? Or you can change, you know, the mirror, you know, concave, convex, you know, and get all kinds of fun things. Right? So like that you can get 8,400,000. But the natural is human. By following the Vedic culture, then you just get the straight reflection.
We were just discussing yesterday that now Facebook has 56 different genders you can choose from.
56 now, it's up from 26. Wow, I'm impressed. How do you get
I have 56? No idea what they are.
You know, it's like every part of your body, you know, masculine, feminine, you know, masculine, feminine, yeah. you know, you got the butch earring and then you have the other stuff. Yeah, how does that work?
I don't know.
It's like a reflection of Jagannath's 56 offerings.
I've
heard.
I would leave that one. I would see that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would. Yes.
But how, when we reverse it here and trying to get everything back to Krishna.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so when we do that, we have to interact through the Purusha avatars, or we can go directly through the...
The point is the mechanics are being managed by the Purusha avatars, but your consciousness doesn't have to actually function through them. You can just directly work with Bhagavan. But this is all given because we tend to not do that. You know what I'm saying? Let's say on a generally good day, right? So the whole time from getting up through the morning program till breakfast is all direct activities, and it generally goes quite well. But then after that, it may or may not, depending upon what's happening. You know, but if you have that strong foundation, there's more of a chance, or at least you'll make it to the next day, where there's a good chance you'll get up and do it again. Right? You know, so it's got enough potency to kind of create a stability there. Mm. So the Virat Rup is for those times that's between breakfast and going to bed at night, you know. Unless you have a habit of doing an evening program, so that would be good. Then you have some kirtan or reading or some kind of association before going to bed, then it's just in between. So that's the Pancharatrik. You open and close with the direct activities, and then in the middle of the day, you have the indirect activities. It's the filling of the sandwich. So in most places, it's the filling's better. In this one, it's the sandwich itself is better. Is that nice? Okay, he accepts the modes of nature. So, therefore, he naturally wanted he's having a relationship with the living entity, but it's us that doesn't act in that relationship. You know, it's just like the father has a relationship with the son, but the son is off doing his own thing, traveling the world, couldn't care less. Right? You know, so that's the principle, yes.
So Krishna makes the first step and then he's waiting for us to respond, or how is it going?
We make the step. He creates a facility.
So we have to make the first step?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's made the step by creating the facility.
Yeah, that's what I was meaning.
Yeah, so it's just like this. The man creates the house.
Yeah.
But now within the house, what will be the reciprocation depends upon the mood of the woman, yeah, like that. So that's how it works. It always works on this principle. So it's creation of the facility and everything like that, which is interesting because we were talking about the reversal, is that we're talking about on the Brahman platform, then the masculine is the quality, the feminine is the primeval forms and endeavors that get that, manifest that. So that's kind of in one sense reversed from this other. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're not different, so they each function in each position. Yeah. Okay, yes.
When it said that the Lord accepted the modes of nature.
Yes.
What's the meaning?
But, yeah. Well, that was what we were trying to explain, and then I keep getting off into something and forgetting and starting. You go, oh, and then I said, if you hadn't asked that, I would have gone back, oh, the modes of nature. So the Lord has this relationship with the living entity, right? And so therefore, then he expands his facility, right? But now you're not, the facility is not the internal potency, right? Because it's actually, he creates a facility, but how does he do that? Through his internal potency. Right? So it still has that, that's the masculine position, but it's still the feminine accomplishes it. Right? And just, he's the goal, and the feminine accomplishes it. Right? He is the endeavor in the feminine. So he is everything, but at the same time, the feminine element accomplishes it. Because it's the energy. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So, then it's just like man provides all the facility, but who maintains the man? You understand? So that's the whole thing. It's the facilities are there, but the manifestation of that maintenance is through the woman. Right? Because she cooks, she takes care, she does it. You understand? So that's the interesting thing, is that it's the masculine, but at the same time it's the feminine. That's why you can't separate them. Right? And that's why you get this thing of being able to reverse them. You know, so that's where that confusing element comes in. So you just have to know which aspect of discussion is the masculine and feminine. Okay. Then, so now, if he's going to create the facilities for the living entity to function, you know, for being able to develop that relationship for the Lord. In other words, you should have developed it in the Lord's pastimes within the, you know, the Mahatattva. If we don't, then we have to develop it within the Mahatattva. Right? But it's always going to be in the Ekapadabhuti. Right? It's always going to be here because you don't know which way they'll go. Right? It's, if you know what will happen, it's just like, let us say you're going out, you're going to take the cake out, you know what it's going to do, everything like that. You take it out in the living room and do things there. If you don't know, you do it in the kitchen. Right? In other words, if something will happen, it'll slide, it'll do something weird, you don't do it out in front of everybody.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole point. If you know, then it can be done on the spot. If you don't know, it'll be done in the situation that if things go wrong, it can be contained. Right? So in other words, within the Mahatattva is where the living entity will choose and where they will develop either towards love of Godhead or towards lust.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So then it's a matter of he's operating that through his internal potency, which is non-different from, but now you have to operate it through the external potency. Right? Does that make sense? So the internal potency, there's a samvitsani nihladini. But then you have what's it? Kriya, Icha, and Jnana as transcendental shaktis. But then you'll have the transformation of that into here, the Dravya, the Kriya, and the Jnana. And that create then the modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? So that transformation, because everything is him, he is everything behind it. He is the support. He is the energies. Therefore, there's the transformation of him as Shiva. Right? And so then we're dealing there. So he accepts the modes of nature. But he, at the same time, is still aloof. Mm-hmm. Because he transforms.
So usually we say that the energies transform.
Yes.
But here it sounds like,
but he transforms, but he's still who he is.
That's a nice
point. So there's a difference there. But in the energies, the transformation, you're still dealing with the same energy.
Same energy. Yeah.
It's just the capacity. Mm. But because the energy contains everything. That's the principle of, that would be the transcendental side of Krishna's Goswami's statement. There's nothing a madman won't say, nothing that a goat won't eat, and nothing that a woman won't do. Right? So that principle is there in the spiritual world because everything that happens is the feminine nature. right? And so then you transform that here, and then you get everything that happens here.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So everything has its origin in its wholesome quality, and then it also has its manifestation here, which is not overly wholesome.
Not overly wholesome.
Yeah, you might have a little bit more wholesome, but you know. You know what I'm saying? Like your factory made, you know, whole wheat bread. It's still like balloon bread, but it's just, you know, made with whole wheat instead of white flour.
Yes.
It's not like that handmade, homemade, you know.
No.
If need be, you could use it as a weapon. You know, loaf of bread. You know, you always thought before is that, see when it became out of not appreciated by the governance that you, carried, you know, your sword. Mm-hmm. That's why you always saw people out in the street walking around with a loaf of bread under their arm. Because then if something happened, then they had something to work with.
The factory-made loaf of bread works more internally, like as a weapon.
No, that's another thing. But we're not getting into that. But what we're meaning here is that it appears this, like it's changed, but it's still the same.
Okay. You say that the Lord, when transformation takes place, he doesn't change. But for the energy, both internal and external, it's also no change.
Technically, no. But you will just means you give the, let's say like this, milk is turned into yogurt. Yogurt's going to stay as yogurt. But the Swarup Shakti acting as Yogamaya and Mahamaya, they're different, but at the same time, it's the same person. There's more of a distinction made in that stuff.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because like Ramadevi, you're talking about here, but then when you're talking about the consort of that transformation of Ramadevi, that's Sansava Shiva. So that's why it gets a little confusing, is that because it's the mood, but it's still the energies carry it out. So if the mood changes, the energies are. Does that make sense? So in other words, the person gets things done because of his mood, but that's mechanics. But in relationship, then it goes the other way. Right? In mechanics, it starts from the masculine, then you apply the feminine. But if you're talking rasa, you start with the feminine, and then the masculine deals with that. You understand? So that's why you get this reverse. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the confusing element. You know, so the guy has to, in other words, the woman's upset because he's not dynamic at this, you know, and doing something on his own initiative, but at the same time she's upset because he didn't act according to her mood. You understand? The complete opposite of each other. But that's just standard. That's not even, we're not talking rocket science here. We're not talking the impossible here. We're just talking about the day to day. Does that make sense? In other words, if he just does something on his own, the woman gets upset because in rasa it's wrong. But if in facility he's not doing that, then it's also wrong. Because he's not doing something, so that's the means that's the feminine, because the feminine is the passive, right? Because the feminine is the all accommodating potency, right? So it accommodates everything that the masculine can put together, right? No matter, right? And it's unlimited. So no matter how much Ananta Dev can produce, the all accommodating potency, his feminine can accommodate it. So no matter what, he can control the whole world, she can accommodate it, no problem. Does this make sense?
So, yeah.
So you can see it's on the transcendental platform, it works out really good. Yeah. Here, then, it's the same principle, but because if we're not doing it to please Krishna, that's the unwholesomeness. So it's not just the feminine, because the feminine is only responding to the masculine. Does that make sense? So therefore, you change the masculine, you change the feminine.
So this whole idea is that we notice when we discuss this, we talk about the living entity as he. And some will say, no, but what about, you know, he, she, or it, or, you know, then the other. And that's like the other 53 options, you know, like that. That would be really good. That would be fun. Let's figure those out. And then put it in here. Go he slash, she slash, it slash, this slash. And just go down the whole page. You know, and put that in every time. You know, we could bring that up. Who suggests we do this? Yeah. Accommodate, you know.
Bring it up on the TVC.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that would be, that's fun. Okay, but the point is you change the masculine of I'm the controller enjoyer into the actual position, then the feminine automatically is in its natural position. So that's the point. If the masculine is properly situated, the feminine naturally becomes. Right? Because otherwise, then what to do to balance that? The feminine takes up the masculine mood to create that balance so they can be feminine. You know what I'm saying? In any case, it must happen. So whether it happens in its natural, pious forms or, you know, less natural and less pious forms.
Good. 56, I'm impressed.
Okay, so that means, but personally, as okay, he accepts the modes of nature. It means he functions through that because he's going to work with his energies. But he does that as Shambhu. So it's the same person, it's just the transformation. Right? But it's like we don't make that much of a... Yeah, does that make sense? It's subtle. So it's like, depending on the conversation, we are making or not making the distinction. We make the distinction between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, but at the same time, we don't make the distinction. We make the distinction between Krishna and Linga, or we don't make the distinction. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
The person has no affinity for any material quality. As Lord Vishnu maintains, so by his will, says Brahma, do I create, and does Shiva destroy. He then tells Narada of his enthusiasm to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Such heartfelt zeal for bhakti is the real way to associate with him in transcendental bliss, which even the Lord himself is unable to measure. Because that's the real unlimited element, that bhakti, that affection that attracts the Lord. Because all the other things are just creating situations. Right? So the feminine is that all those situations, means how you say, means the activities and facilities, but at the same time it's the use of them in affection that's nice. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not just that it's happening, but it's the affection which is done that's nice.
Yeah.
That's what's attractive. So that's the unlimited element. Because these other things are just existence. Right? So in other words, existence then has to have a masculine and feminine principle also. Because you can't separate them. So therefore, he's not attracted by the masculine and feminine element of existence because he is existence. He's attracted by the mood, right? Because Krishna is existence.
He's also the mood.
Yes, but that mood, he is, but at the same time, that is the, how you say, Radharani. That's the experience of that. Of course, there's the masculine and feminine. You have Tejas and Shakti in there. So Tejas must give support to Shakti, but at the same time, it both has that more feminine aspect. Because you know, if you're taking it, you have masculine sambandha, feminine is prayojana, but within that you have to have masculine and feminine because one can't function without the other. So then it's the smaller. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then also here's the other thing. Who asked the question about Parakya and Swakya the other day? Seems to be a gap here. Okay. Is that if you are taking part, just if we look at it also, now if we take the masculine principle and the feminine principle from there, that of sambandha and prayojana. Now, sambandha is based on the, you know, what is the field, what is there, what's the relationships, what's the natural thing, the gyan, all those things like that. And then the other is based on the mood and the affection. Okay? Now, of these two, which gives rise to majesty, which gives rise to spontaneity?
Spontaneity is feminine. And
yes, okay. So now, then, yes, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then, therefore, then Gopi Janavallabha is going to be situated where?
In Prayajan.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Didn't catch. Gopi Janavallabha means Prayojana. He's the Prayojana Adideva. And so we've established that that area is basically the field of the feminine. Right? Okay?
Yes.
So that means then Braj is based on that. That's the difference between the two. That's why the Parakya is higher than the Swakya. Because now you're functioning. Because the natural relationship means if you have the formal relationship, the husband and wife out in public, then what he says is what happens, at least what anybody notices, what she can whisper by the look, by the jab, by the kick, whatever it is that it takes to get across the, you know, what is supposed to be done, then it gets done. So the lead is the masculine. Mm-hmm. Right? But in the parakia, then the lead is the feminine.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Right? It's just like Krishna comes back to the palaces. What happens? He's greeted by his sons. And who sends the son? The queens. Okay. Now Krishna sneaks away over to where the gopis are. Is there necessarily a reception? Why not? Because it's their world, not his world. You understand? That's the difference in flavor.
Yes.
So therefore, the intensity is greater because the masculine is stable, less intense. The feminine is not stable. Therefore, yes. Intensity. Right? Let's say I have a bottle of water. Okay? And the weather's hot. And I hand it to you and tell it, carry it over there and put it on the table.
Okay.
Okay. Any problem? No. Now if I hand you a bottle of nitroglycerin and it's hot. Right?
I gotta go.
Yeah, so then it becomes a little, it's more volatile, therefore more intense. You understand? But it just, it gets hot, it'll explode. You shake it, it'll explode. So you keep it cool, then there's less chance of even shaking it that will explode. Confirm.
I think so.
Back to get it.
Yeah. Seem to be maybe a go here, unless we turn it on, of course. Now that's the one thing is this fan something we need to be using?
It would be nice.
Yeah, but we have to fix it first.
It doesn't work.
No. I asked about it the other day. It's just not connected.
It's not connected.
Yeah. Can you ask them to connect it? Otherwise, if they build a nest, then it's harder to turn it off. Unless, of course, you prefer not to. We have two more living entities here in Bhagavatam.
Maybe they'll get self-realized.
Yeah. Yeah. Brahma, knowing well that he has achieved the status of the foremost of sages only by the mercy of the Supreme, now admits that through brain power alone, Lord Krishna cannot be understood. The only thing to be done, Brahma concludes, is to surrender to the lotus feet and offer him our respectful obeisances, therefore sacrifice, performing activities for someone else's benefit. Because it's not that by intellectual, because how do I know something by my intellect? How do I really know? Because it has nothing to do with them.
Control.
Yeah, it's not. But if you surrender, then you get to know the person. So that's the thing. So this idea, no, intellectually I can understand it, then that just means I'm in the position I control, and if I control it by my intelligence, I can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why don't you want to give up the sense of control or intellectual pursuit? Because then I may lose my enjoyment.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Therefore, yeah. That makes sense. So that's the whole thing. So by surrendering, then we get to know the Lord.
Yes, but by surrendering, and then we still learn to know how to.
Yes, but then the Lord, because He is the intelligence, then through the intelligence He'll reveal Himself.
So if it doesn't, it means the sense of control was not...
Good chance, good chance.
Just an indication.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, just a, you know, just,
hey, what do you call it?
Arbitrary example, yes.
Yes.
Nothing to do with the particular...
No, no, no.
How you say?
Just for instance.
Yeah, you know, that last line in the... You know,
oh, yeah.
With, you know, like that. Nothing to do with, you know, any similarity, yeah, yeah. Any personality, yes, yes. Places. Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's
purely meaning. Coincidence.
Yes, purely coincidence, yeah. Brahma goes on to glorify the Lord as he is in his own nature beyond the material manifestation. So that is him, but him includes these other things. Does that make sense? Right, yeah. Then he repeats, then he speaks of the first two Purusha incarnations and mentions different species of extraordinary beings within creation, himself included, in whom the Mahapurusha invests vibhuti, opulence, and other ideal qualities. He warns that such empowered created beings may appear to be supreme, but they are not. The chapter concludes with Brahma telling Narada that, in the next chapter, he will speak about the Lord's Leela avatars, because Leela Katha is full of relish and purifies the ear of its propensity to listen to the low affairs of souls conditioned by Maya. Brahma retains the narrative of the Lord's avatars in his heart forever. So in other words, you have to have both the philosophy and the pastimes. But the point is it's the pastimes that are more relishable. Because
yes.
Otherwise, then one will study nicely philosophy, but then there's Facebook,
yes.
Right? So then you have the philosophy and the pastimes of the Lord. Then the whole point is it becomes different. Then it's not about hearing about the mundane.
So why is it every scripture basically starts with the philosophy part and yes. Then continues with the lila part?
Is because then, if without the philosophy, you won't be able to approach the Leela properly. You'll just take it as more gossip.
Okay.
So we're trying to get rid of the tendency towards gossip by, you know, making one qualified to hear about the Lord's pastimes. In other words, instead of hearing about the mundane pastimes of this world, you hear about the Lord's pastimes.
Yeah.
Right? But to do that, you need qualification so you can tell the difference. Just like to a child, right? They crawl along the floor, they go to the place where the sink is, they open the door, right? And there are bottles there, right? And so, you know, when the mom makes things to eat, she gets out bottles. Therefore, you know, the bottles contain things to eat. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the point. You have to be educated enough to tell the difference between what the bottle that's food and the bottle that's poison. It says in the bottle, but you can't read, so therefore you need to be educated, right? Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. Or you need to be fed.
That's there, but at the same time as the child is independent and they do...
Like to put things in the mouth.
Yes. You know, so it's like that. So it means every example has its limits when you're dealing with a mundane platform, right? So it has to be fed, but at the same time as being fed, then there's the aspect of still you have to even know that it's useful to, because otherwise the kid likes to eat all kinds of things, so they have to be trained. Right? Okay. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses, right? So that does that make sense? So the technical is so that you can appreciate rasa. Tattva is so that you can appreciate rasa. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 22. Yeah, on the point of being fed, that's there for the association of devotees. Summary of verses. Means it's in the, how you say, in the presentation. In other words, the point's right, but it's not. It can't be at the expense of the other point.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
What's the other point?
The other point is that you have to teach the kid
how to read
or what to eat or not eat.
Yeah.
That has to be taught. But the point is the whole point is association. So therefore, in good association, even if they are crawling towards the cabinet with the bleach in it, you are there to see that they don't. right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point, is that it's association. But it's still because the tendency is for what's not proper. Okay, that's the whole thing. So in other words, you want to add something, then add it on top of the other. Don't add, put it in the replacement of the other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 22. The Lord is beyond Yirat Purush, because he points out that he is the creation, he is the value of everything, which is the Paramatma, and then, but he's beyond that as a person. Right? Verses 23 to 33, performing sacrifice by using the creation in the Lord's service. So that means this, that element of Yirat Purush, that's what Brahma did, and attained his status. So then why is it that we doing that will attain to that same platform of Brahma?
Right.
No, Brahman. Not Brahma. I mean this. Of course, the supreme controller of everything and creator of everything. Not bad, not
sounds
bad.
Good.
Okay, yeah, get through that. Put that on your resume. Yeah. That would be good, right? Supreme controller and controller. No, no, no.
Interesting. Mm.
Okay. I gotta keep this card. Right? 34 to 38, right? Brahma glorifies devotional service because that's the point of using the creation and sacrifice is for devotional service, but this is indirect. So then there's the element of direct, which is the mood, the intent.
Yes.
And 39 to 46, Brahma describes Mahavishnu. Verses 1 to 22. The Lord is beyond the Virat Purusha. In verses 1 to 22, Lord Brahma explains that Virat covers every created being in the universe as past, present, and future. Yet the Lord himself is timeless and beyond all in creation.
Can we again clarify who is
Virat? What are the options?
I see many.
Okay. What are these many?
It can be Garbhodakasaya.
Okay.
Kiradakasaya Vishnu.
Okay.
It can be the coverings. The modes of nature can be what?
Brahman.
I would have said yes to your first two. The others are then their energies. Right? So in other words, you have to have the means. It's just like you have this, the item and you have its activity. Okay? So that means the items, that means the position itself, which leads this woman to go somewhere, I guess.
These.
Oh, they're coming.
Yes.
No, that could be gone.
Sure.
But, so, means you have the position and all that, the situation. Then you have the management of it. So the situation is Garbhodakshaya, the management of it is Kiradakshaya. The Kiradakshaya is the expansion of Garbhodakshaya. So Garbhodakshaya, you can say, he is doing the whole thing. But at the same time, it's because it's practically going on with Kiradakshaya. Therefore, you'll say it's him. Now, what they do that through is through their energies, which then transform and becomes the modes of nature. So the mechanics of it are modes of nature. But the principle of it is Garbhodakshaya and Kiradakshaya.
That that's why I asked, because Brahma explained that Virat covers every created being in the universe.
Yes.
By the modes of nature.
No, that's the practical. That's how it does. Is Virat is everything. Means everything has a position, everything has a nature. Right? So therefore then that's where they're situated. So that has been created by the Lord. Why are there not a lot of people on the North or South Pole? Because Krishna created, you know, them to not be there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole point. That's for other people. Penguins, they hang out down there. That's just their, that's their place. Right? But, does that work?
And the Lord we're talking about can be Mahavishnu beyond Virat, or can be.
Means the point is the principle of Virat That's coming from Mahavishnu. But now, so that you are able to see it, that's Kirudaksha and Garbhadaksha. And then the hands-on management, you can say, is Kirudaksha. Though even he doesn't do, he only sanctions, and the Maya carries it out through the modes of nature. So all the modes and everything, that's Maya. So you have to have the principle in which it's carried out. So Virat is the principle. Right? Then Mahamaya then takes care of it. Is that? Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. The first verse of chapter 6 immediately confirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, is the only object of sacrifice in terms of the yajna delineated by the Purusha Shukti hymn. Brahmadev begins his description of the Virat Purusha by telling Narada about his mouth. It is the source of all voices and the abode of the fire god, Agnidev, who controls the voice of every created being as the deity of that sensory facility. Right. It follows that the plan of creation is for the voice to be used in chanting the mantras for sacrifices offered into fire, the tongue of the universal form of the Lord. Right. So natural, that's the place to start. And it's also the subtle, because you start with that, then you're starting with also the subtle of ether and sound. Similarly, his skin and six other layers, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow, and semen, generate seven kinds of Vedic hymns. And his tongue is the source of Havya Kavya, foods offered in sacrifice and accepted by the demigods, forefathers and people in general. His nostrils are the abode of the Ashvini Kumaras and all medicinal herbs, all the different kinds of Vayu and Prana, and the different fragrances of the universe originate here. Right? Therefore, you can see the element of just smelling the herbs, you get benefit. Because it's connected with the prana, which is connected with how everything functions. Right? I would think one Ayurvedic doctor is telling me is that before, now they just get a little bit, but before, because it was readily available and because of the volume of what they're working with, the Kaviraj would have this room that's just full of all the medicinal herbs, right? His stores, because you have to keep it nicely so it doesn't get affected by the weather and stuff like that. So it's in there. He said just going in there and sitting there and breathing basically will get rid of all problems. But nowadays you don't really see it. You know, a few little bottles here and there and that's it. But before they had rooms that were full like that. His eyes generate all forms. The balls of his eyes are the sun and other luminous heavenly locusts. The directions of space originate in his ears and are the receptacles of the Vedas. The element Akash emanates from his sense of hearing along with all kinds of sound. So we see that there's the hearing and chanting, then they go together because they both deal with the Akash. So that it was... The surface of his body is the shelter of Vastu, the active principle of auspicity within all articles. Because Vastu is substance. So then what is the real substance of something? It's not a trick question.
Now it's connected with the Lord?
Yes. So in other words, in the potency is the Lord.
Yes.
And so that's the real Vastu.
Yes.
So the Vastava Vastu is Krishna.
Yes.
Then there's the Vastu means that therefore since it is Krishna, then how do you deal with it? What's the natural, in other words, what's the natural quality to be gained? What's the natural feminine form and activity that go with that? Does that make sense? So that's the point. Now, you follow that, it's auspicious. You don't follow that, it's inauspicious.
Yes.
That's the point of Vastu. But we're looking at it, what benefit do I get?
Yes.
And if it's going to be more trouble, I don't want to do it, which is the mode of passion.
Yes.
Right? Is that?
Yeah.
All right, so then, mode of goodness, you just do it because that's what should be done.
Motive passion is I do it because what I'll get from it, or I reject it because I don't see what I'll get from it, or I just see trouble. Motive ignorance, I don't even worry
you know
about
what I'm doing.
You know, I come up with some other point of my own concept of vastu.
I deliberately work against it or something.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that much of the time when we introduce the Vedic cultural elements, we introduce them actually from the mode of passion,
yes,
not from the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is that this is just the way the universe is constructed. Doing this, things go properly, because you're supposed to do it like that.
We're not smart enough.
Yeah, so we'll only do it because of the benefit we'll get. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then they become a difficulty and people get distracted. Because they're looking at what benefit I'll get from it, rather than this is what I should do. Right? Yes. Because that concept kind of went out. Means, in other words, the West started eroding that concept when it came up with the Magna Carta. Not that it's not a good document.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is the principle of it? I don't have to do what I'm told. I do what is my rights. So that's fine that one has rights. Why? Because that's one's position. But that means that the authority has rights also. Because as an entity, if you have rights, then so does the other entity. But then the point is I'm worried about the obligation of the other entity. But then I don't worry about the obligation of myself. So that's the whole point. If something's going wrong, that means someone's not following their obligation. Therefore, the other party doesn't get their rights. That's the real problem. This is just, you know, some salve on the surface. The blood is overly hot because of bad digestion. So there's a pimple. So I put some medicine on the pimple, and the pimple goes away. So I say, you know, it's done. But the real point is that it's not done because the blood's still the same. Does that make sense? So no matter how you adjust it, whoever gets into the position of authority does exactly the same thing.
Yes.
That's all. There's no change.
Dealing with the symptoms instead of the problem.
Yes. So that's the difficulty, is that we get rid of this principle of austerity, that austerity means the performance of my duties. So sacrifice means I'm going to do. So the sacrifice starts with hearing and chanting, therefore it's the most important. Right, the whole creation started with that, right? And then you want how did Rukmini decide on Krishna as her husband?
Hearing,
right? First time that Radharani, she heard about. She hadn't met Krishna. That's why she felt she was feeling bad.
Right.
Not that she hadn't met Krishna, but she thinks she's in love with three different boys. Because she'd heard about Krishna as Madan Mohan, as Govinda, and as Gopinath. She thinks they're three different persons. Right? So, hearing. Right? So that means, to hear means there has to be?
Ether.
And then there has to be?
Sound.
Okay, sound. That travels in the ether, and then that means there has to be a speaker. Therefore, the tongue. Right? Does that make sense? So you have to have all that, so they go together. Though they're coming from different parts. You know, it'd be really hard to hear and talk at the same time if the ear did both. or you'd only hear yourself talking.
Sometimes it's like the Bengali's got something going on like that. And we have like 10 people and they're all talking at once. And
yeah, yeah. Therefore the necessity of the hand movement.
Yeah. That way, seems like it's working.
You know what people are saying. You know, so. So it seems you call it the Bengalis and the Italians, they have that one down. Right? Okay. The wind, vayu, is the skin. Right? Mm-hmm. So what we see is that the vayu is also connected with the nose. So that's why we're saying each one is interdependent upon the other. But at the same time, they have their order and their hierarchy and their qualities.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Every living entity's sense of touch is controlled by vayu. And vayu is the place of all sacrifice. Right? Because if you're not in good health, you know, in other words, you can't move and stuff like that, then the sensual perception means nothing. But when you're good health, then the sensual perception is there. So that makes sense. Yeah. And Vayu is the place of all sacrifice. It's also interesting that Vayu is the corner of the guru. Mm-hmm. Vayu is guru. It means when you're talking about Vastu, uh-huh. Vayu corner is where guru is situated. And then opposite that is fire. So fire and wind and their friends. Mm-hmm. All vegetation, particularly the trees needed for sacrifice, originate from the hairs on the skin. Right? Because these trees are considered the hairs of the body, the Virat Purusha. From the hairs on his head and face come the clouds. Okay. Electricity, stone, and iron, ore, are produced from his nails. The Kshatriyas, right, because we may say, well, okay, stone and iron, but why electricity? What happens when you hit them together? They produce electricity. The Kshatriyas among the demigods and others who protect the people are the harvest of the fields of his mighty arms. Right, so we say they're the arms, but they're the harvest of the fields. So the harvest from the fields comes from? How do you get harvest in the fields? Okay, yes, arms you produce, okay. Let's talk about vaishas, a little bit more subtle, rock root kind of level stuff. I mean, Nanda Maharaj was bringing up the point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the demigods.
Yeah, and then they're going to do? Right, so from sacrifice comes rain comes grains. Right, grains, then you get harvest. But the sacrifice means the hearing and chanting. Right? And then you're using still the dravya that's coming. So from the hairs of the body, you're getting all the items that you're using. And so that's the interesting thing. I'm taking from the nature, you know, the forest, for all the items for sacrifice. That sacrifice will produce rain that then therefore nourishes the forest. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's interesting, the whole cycle. It's so perfectly worked out that we're not used to. We're used to there being something and then stopping at one point because then we can see it. When it goes in a complete perfect loop, then it's so perfect that we can't grab on anything. You know what I'm saying? Because what does it mean? If I have a perfect circle, perfectly clean, perfectly well-made, perfectly blended, where's the beginning of the circle? No. Okay, but now, if it's not so perfect, then, you know, you can see where the two ends meet, then I can relate, right? So, because there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, therefore my mundane mentality can relate to it.
Is it also that if it's already perfect, we can only we can only take part?
Yeah, we can only take part, yeah, because you can't be the controller, yeah. Right?
Yes.
No, I was thinking also that people, they don't have enough goodness,
yes,
to go for the circle. They want immediate result as soon as possible. And
taking
the circle, it takes some time. And people obviously don't have any time.
Time, yeah.
So then they can't achieve anything because they just want to
grab time, yeah.
Yeah.
Because also if you only look at what I have and what I can get, but what you're forgetting is what you're going to get becomes what you have. So the circle becomes complete. So therefore, you don't want to get something you don't want to have. You know?
Yeah.
So getting something means there's all kinds of things go with it. Yes. With the potato goes the peel. You know? Like that. So with everything, there's everything else. You know, with the house goes the mortgage. Yes. Like that.
Yeah.
Like how you say. With the inhabitants... How you say, the inhabitants of the house goes Rodeo Drive. Right? Yeah. You know, so,
and then with the wife, there is the mother-in-law.
Yeah. So it all goes together. It's all the package. Okay, so that's the problem. What you mean, it slows them down because then you have to think, you have to calculate more, it takes more. You have to be prepared earlier and be able to continue with it longer. Well, the other one you work with just in the moment, the immediate, You know, and that to them that seems like spontaneous.
Yes.
But that's only out of necessity.
Yes. Because it's basically not working.
Yeah. So it's not actually based on it's not based on being so good at the field that therefore one can spontaneously work with it. This is that you have to be spontaneous because otherwise then you'll fail. The Lord's Vikrama, or forward steps, are the shelter of the three worlds. They provide all necessities for life. Because, you know, as the Lord moves, his path is the path of shelter for everyone. How he does that. His lotus feet are the shelter from all kinds of fear. Because then you have a path, you have a direction. You have, like, if there's no plan, you get scared. There's something happening. In his purport to verse 7, Srila Prabhupada gives practical advice how to overcome fear. For absolute protection from all sorts of fear, as well as for all our needs of life, we must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not only in this planet, but also in all the upper, lower, and heavenly planets. This absolute dependence on the lotus feet of the Lord is called pure devotional service. And it is directly hinted at within this passage. Because the Purushukta is going to define everything that we need to know, how to apply. But at the same time, the language is such, for those who are not interested in pure devotional service, they can come up with these other philosophies and get absorbed in karma, jnana, or upasana. Right? And then, therefore, with these different philosophies, the six philosophies and all that. Yeah? Lord Brahma continues, water, semen, fertilizing agents, rains, and the Prajapatis originate in the Lord's reproductive organs. From his genitals, a heavenly pleasure that overturns the distress of having offspring pervades the bodies of all living entities. Because Prabhupada points out is that if it isn't for the happiness one gets from creating the children, then probably people wouldn't even bother. Right, you know, so that's one of the elements that people would be very careful about. Yeah. Mitra Yamaraj resides in the evacuation vent of the universal form. Here and in the rectum of the Virat Purush are envy, misfortune, death, and hell. Right. So that's why it's the back of the Lord. It's not considered the ideal elements. At his back are frustration, ignorance, and immortality. Right? The point of your 56 different big columns. 32. Srila Prabhupada comments in this connection. Ignorance is the back of the Lord, and therefore the ignorance of the less intelligent class of men is also not separate from his bodily conception. Since his body is the complete whole of everything that be, one cannot assert that he is impersonal only. On the contrary, the perfect description of the Lord holds that he is both impersonal and personal simultaneously. The personality of Godhead is the original feature of the Lord, and his impersonal emanation is but the reflection of his transcendental body. Those who are fortunate enough to have a view of the Lord from the front can realize his personal feature, whereas those who are frustrated are thus kept on the ignorant side of the Lord, or in other words, those who have the view of the Lord from the back realize him in his impersonal feature. Because then you don't relate, you don't interact, it's impersonal.
Yes.
Right? You may appreciate qualities, but you only appreciate him not in relation to the person.
Yes.
The great rivers are his veins, because they carry everything, you know, the life and everything. The great mountains are supported by his bones. His avyakta feature is the shelter of the oceans of the universe. In his belly are the materially annihilated living entities, because everything goes back into the Lord, right? Like that. And then out of creation again they come out. The intelligent know that the subtle bodies of all living entities are sheltered in his heart. 33. In other words, the subtle form of the living entities takes place in the heart of the Supreme Being, and such forms take tangible shape at the time of creation. Right? The subtle, because also is that the subtle is the mind, intelligence, ego. That's how you decide what you do, how you do everything. So that comes from what? one's desire, one's interest. So in other words, it comes from the Lord's interest, his desire, then it reflects the fact that the living entities have their desire, and therefore then they function in this world.
The description of the group, we had it before already, do you?
Yes, but this is more detailed now. But now it's because, in other words, before it's introducing the concept, now we're getting in how it applies. They're just describing that it's a way for the impersonalist to get adjusted to the personal idea. So here we know is that we're not looking at it that the universal form is the Lord, meaning that that is him, and then so the impersonal is the original. The personal is there, so that means his personal form is the origin of this impersonal. Right? So now we're seeing the connection to the Lord. Before they were just saying that it's a method you can use to come to that platform. Does that make sense? And now we get the point of that, no, it's by this platform. I mean, this platform exists because it is based on the Lord himself, his form.
It's not imaginary.
It's not imaginary. It means the universal form is real, but it's imaginary thinking that this is the form of the Lord. The form of the Lord already has his form. And then his form gives rise to all these elements, aspects. So in that way you can say it's the form of the Lord. You know, it's just like, let us say there's the person and then there's the reflection in the mirror. So is the reflection in the mirror the person?
No.
But at the same time, it's the form of the person. But at the same time, it's not the form of the person. That's the virata. Does that make sense? It is, but it isn't. You know, so to think, well, that's it, and that is the supreme. No, that's just an indication of. In other words, I see a reflection in the mirror. It gives me an indication someone's standing there. Does that make sense? You know, if you're standing in the room and you see a reflection in the mirror and you go up and start talking to the reflection in the mirror, yeah, I haven't seen you for a while, where have you been? You know, all this, and you think it's a little strange. Okay? No? Unless in front of that mirror, at about waist height, there's a bar, and you're holding it and going through the numbers. Then, of course, you're going to do like that, because if you turn around, you can't hold on to the bar. Right? Oh, that's there because you're showing the kid the mirror. Then that's another thing. Huh? Yeah. You know, we're talking with adults. Most people turn around. Okay. The religious principles observed by great authorities like Brahma, the four Kumaras, and Narad Muni are produced from his consciousness. So religious principles means the consciousness. So to appreciate religious principles, you have to be conscious. That's why we see just that first point where we say human life starts, human consciousness starts when we appreciate religious principles. Then when those religious principles are seen in context of spiritual, and then that's seen in context of the love for God, relationship with God, then that becomes there. Then you're conscious of that. Because below that, the consciousness is not broad enough, right? It's basically just extended animal consciousness. Right? You have animal consciousness and then extended animal consciousness. You're a nice animal.
Thank you.
Yes. The religious principles observed by great authorities like Brahma, the four Kumaras, and Narad Muni are produced from his consciousness, which is the abode of truth and transcendental knowledge. Right, so we see here truth and transcendental knowledge. We want that, but then the point is it's based on consciousness that's produced from the Lord, so it has to be connected with religious principles. So if we're interested in truth and knowledge, but not based on consciousness in the Lord. You know, so therefore not based on religious principles. So then what's the point? You know, so it becomes basically useless. You're talking about lower states of consciousness here.
Yeah.
leading demigods beginning with Brahma and Shiva, the ancient sages born before Narada's time, the lesser demigods and the demons, the Nagas and other reptilians, human beings, birds, animals, and planets, and other bodies in outer space, lightning, thunder, the different grades of superhuman, human, and non-human life, and all other varieties of living entities, are covered by the Mahapurusha and thus subject to his future of time, past, present, and future. Yet he is situated beyond all material conception in a form that does not exceed 9 inches. So here Mahapurush means the Lord. That's not necessarily Mahavishnu. You can mean him because it's him who is expanded as Kirudaksha. Like that. But otherwise Mahapurush as in comparison to the little itty bitty teeny weeny tiny, you know, Purushas, yes, that we see ourselves as. Verses 8 through 16, Srila Prabhupada comments. In other words, the Lord is the Supreme Person who controls everything within the creation, and still he remains the supreme separate entity, distinct from all manifested material creation. So that's the glory of his body, is all these contradictory qualities can be manifested in one place. Right? So that means is that he is non-different. He has all those qualities, so that form is the source of that. Therefore, he is the Supreme Person. He has the form. And all these contradictory things that he's completely controlling it, but totally aloof from it. Right? If we want to get control, we have to get involved. Right? But Krishna can be completely involved, but at the same time be completely aloof. So we practice that by Naishkarmya. We're very involved, but we're completely aloof. Right? So it's the same principle. So we want to associate with him who has this quality. So we have to function in the same quality. Yes. That makes sense?
Yes.
Right? So why is Krishna doing something? Right? Because of the physical result it will produce?
No. Relationship.
Because of the relationship. Right? So when we function based on relationship with the Lord, then we're working in the same platform.
Yes.
Right? So that's what it's talking about, coming to that platform of the Lord. Right?
Yes.
That's the point, is that one's functioning not for the results that one gets in the way of things to enjoy for oneself, the physical form, but what will be the effect for Krishna.
Yes.
So it's not that we're worried about getting that effect because getting the effect has a meaning. No, it's getting the effect is only useful because it will please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that makes it beyond. That brings it to the natural position. To just get the effect, that's the masculine position. But the effect of the effect, what will be its position in relationship, that's what's interesting to the feminine. Right? So Krishna is existence. That's why it's not that, you know, he's not just sitting around looking at himself. Right? So that's just him. And so then therefore the feminine aspect of producing those things which are him is not what's interesting. It's the uniqueness of the feminine in that affection that's there. That's what's special. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's the common point is where you interact, but it's the difference that's interesting. Right? The man and woman are sitting at the table eating the same thing. That's the common point. But it's the difference that they're two different personalities that makes it interesting.
Can we say the sameness makes it possible and the difference makes it interesting?
Yeah. In other words, the sameness is the tattva aspects, the difference is the rasa aspect. So that's why you can't separate the two. They go together. Yes.
Can we say that Krishna is more interested in the process than the results?
Yes. Because the process generates experience, and that's what's important. Because the result is, it's never ending. Once you get it, it becomes part of the field, so it's always going.
So that constant development of generation is done by the activities. So the activities of things. So therefore, Govinda is the most important element. Right? But at the same time, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, Govinda is the prominent deity. But then we talk about Krishna as Gopijanavallabha. But what we're interested in is the Govinda aspect of Gopijanavallabha. Right? The pastime of Krishna is Gopijanavallabha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because result is masculine. But the activity for the result, that's
yeah.
them.
Yeah, or you could say as the experience. Because the activity is the place where both the masculine and the feminine come together. Because you have the field, you have the experience. So activity is where the field and the experience are going on at once. Right? In that activity, you have to have the knowledge, you have to know the goal. Right? You have to make endeavor. It's not static. Because it's like this. The feminine is static as how do you say? Yeah. I'm trying to think of the word. In other words, is the how do you say? Being something as the object. And the masculine is static as a subject. There's no activity, so there's no interaction. So therefore, if the man's not doing something, where's the relationship?
Yes.
You understand? So therefore, the element of having to do something.
Yes.
That's why when something goes wrong and you're trying not to do something wrong, so you just sit there and do nothing, say nothing, it doesn't make anything better.
No.
Because you can only make things better when things are moving. Yes?
Yes.
Maharaj, so in one sense, you can say that the interaction is the goal. So what distinguishes, you know,
the goal from the goal? Because you have to have a goal to interact. It means you look at it from the grammatical. You have the subject and the object. What are they connected by? The instrument, which is assisting the what's between. You have a noun subject and a noun object. What's in between? The verb. Okay. And then the instrumental as a noun is supporting that. That's us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Where's the dative?
In the end.
No, but I'm saying between the two, it's a separate tense. And not tense, it's a separate noun. Does that make sense? So in other words, for the verb to operate, there must be a goal. But at the same time, as there also must be, to balance the goal, there must be the what do you call it, ablative, means the cause. So you're always having that masculine and feminine, is that, you know, you have the situation and this goal, then you have the person who's taking that role, and then the person is then you have the middle is the, what do you call it? The means the verb and the instrument. Right? Isn't it?
Yes.
Then you have the place.
Locative.
Yeah. Because means that will be connected with all of that. Because the cause has a place and the goal has a place. But the main point about the place that's important is that that's where the verb can function.
Mm-hmm. How about the genitive?
Right? Well, those are secondary nouns. Those aren't primary. They support these. They add flavor to this. The possessive, the this and that. So then that makes the difference in there. What is the quality? Swakya or parakya? It's by the sense of possession. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so in other words, the masculine is the sense of existence. The feminine is the sense of possession.
Yes.
So does that make sense?
So it's I and mine.
Yeah, I and mine. That's the whole point. I is the masculine, mine is the feminine. But we're seeing I and mine, and that what I'm going to enjoy from it. So therefore, it's called Purusha. And that's the whole point. It's the combination of I and mine. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, it always comes back down to the simple. Yeah. You know, said, in other words, you start on the simple point, and then it gets all very complex and all that, and then we go, "Oh, you mean?" And it comes back to that. Right? Yeah. So then it always comes back to that simple.
Yeah. But it's interesting that living anything has both from, you know, from negative, also I and also mine. Means the living entity wants to be I and mine.
It wants to be I and mine. Yeah. Yeah. But technically, in this process, we're neither the I or the mine.
Yes.
We're the instrument for the interaction between I and mine.
Right.
That's our natural position. That's what we can do. And that taste is very great. Therefore, we see is even Radharani, because she is the mind, she takes pleasure in being the instrument in seeing Krishna interacting with other devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's the thing. And him being the I, he puts himself in the yoga maya where he's being controlled. So you have a lot going on. Does that make sense? So we see how these connect, is that this very technical stuff is actually, when that's understood, is the very natural existence of the principles of rasa. That's why then you have a foundation of tattva. Then with seeing that and being able to function within that, it becomes spontaneous. Like that. Therefore, there's rasa. So rasa is the natural a result of tattva. And tattva is the position of existence of the rasa. So you can't separate them. Right? So then there again, it's the masculine is the tattva, the feminine is the rasa.
Can we say that tattva is in Sambandha and then the rasa is in Priyoga?
Okay, yes. Because that's where your sambandha jnana connects to everything. That was the masculine connects to everything. The feminine has to connect. Right? Its natural position is that's why it only sees that way. Because it means the masculine can look at everything, be part of everything, but at the same time not engage,
right.
Not be dynamic. So that's the point, is the masculine's position is to be dynamic. The feminine position is the passive to interact with that. Because that will happen anyway. That's just the position. So it will happen. Because the feminine doesn't see it outside of relationship. The masculine can look at it within relationship or not. You just can look at the tattva aspect. You know, and it not become dynamic. Because dynamic means now you're acting within relationship. Understanding the relationship, that's sankarshan. Acting in that, that's prajumna. You know, or at least having the desire. You know, actually acting, that's vasudeva.
Aniruddha is the goal.
Yes, Aniruddha is the goal. So, yes? No? Okay. Okay, in other words, the Lord is the Supreme Person who controls everything within the creation, and still He remains the Supreme separate entity, distinct from all manifested material creation. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, 4-5, he is therefore said to be Yogeshwara. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is everything that is created does not rest in me. So you have all these things. So that's yoga, that's mystic power. He's pervading everything. Everything is situated in Brahman. But at the same time, as it's not situated in him as a person. And he's pervading everything, but he as a person is not in them. Right? So that's Krishna. That's his yogic power. So there's no such thing as anything. In other words, any law that you can observe, then there must be that original position. Right? There must be. There must be that original. And so, therefore, it is a power. Right? The theorem is simply the formula for the particular Shakti and how it's functioning. So, if you're describing anything functioning, there has to be a power to make it do that.
even though people don't see that. You know, as we saw before, is that you have the items, but it takes a shock to you to put them together. You go into the kitchen, there's a basket. The basket's full of vegetables, but they remain separate vegetables. There must be the potency of being able to put them together. Right? Does that make sense? But to put them together, then there must be the concept of what you can put together. And then based on what you can put together, then you apply the principle of putting it together. So therefore, even with your basket of vegetables, you have this supreme element of the masculine and feminine aspects of creation in Brahman. Right? Mm-hmm. But that all goes back because there's the original person. Does that make sense? So Krishna likes to interact, therefore Mother Yashoda cooks. So it's we seeing this that the between the two fields they're the same thing. It's just one is the element of the rasa that's being tasted, and the other is just the explanation. You know, so we're used to one or the other, not the two. That's why it's difficult. Because the sahajiyas deal with one, and so we in reaction deal with the other. But the point is you have to be able to deal with two, both. But we don't see the two together because we're so used to duality. We can't actually understand how they can be the same thing but different at the same time.
Mark?
Yes?
Is this a special feature of Mahaprabhu's teaching of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva or other schools, you know, Vaishnava schools?
Other Vaishnava schools will have it, but not to the degree that Lord Chaitanya is teaching.
Okay.
Because, in other words, as we saw, is that the conjugal rasa can be appreciated by all Vaishnavas, but it's in general, it's Vishnu and Lakshmi. So what's the interaction between Vishnu and Lakshmi?
Very formal.
Very formal. It's just devotion. In other words, they all know that we attain the Lord through Lakshmi. So the fundamentals of philosophy are exactly the same for all Vaishnavas. It's the subtlety of it and how far you can take the intensity of rasa. That's the difference. So in other words, it's all based on prema. But it's just a matter of, do they go beyond prema? Most don't. Prema is the limit that they go to. And then there's these others, the Nimbarkas and in Vishnuswami's line, the Vallabhas, then they get into these ones in between. We're the only ones, and even if they deal with the conjugal, they're not dealing with, how do you say it?
Separation.
The Vipra Lamba, but then that comes in the.
Sambhog?
Yeah, no. Marana. I think it's called Marana Nayaka Mahabhava. Because even within Mahabhava, you know, where the conjugal is situated, there's three levels. So Radharani is that last level. Right. The cowherd boys, the intimate cowherd boys, you know, that Krishna's friends who he can discuss his conjugal, relations with, so they can help in the arrangements. They can get up to that. So that means like Subal, I think Maru Mangal, they're in that category, intimate. So they can get up to that, but only that level. Right? Then you get that higher level, then the associates of Radharani get to. But only Radharani is on that Marana Nayaka Bhava. That's the mood that Lord Chaitanya manifests. So this distinction, within this distinction, so these different sampradayas are giving these aspects. So most are making this distinction. So that's why, like when the trees are Madhvas, when they're looking at Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, they're not making any of these kind of distinctions. So therefore, it's just wonderful, sweet pastimes of Mahanarayana. Right? So then it's special for them, it's unique for them. But it's still within that capacity of just that formalness. So they'll very much enjoy talking about these pastimes and relating them and doing performances on them or readings or on all these kind of like that, singing songs like that. But still, it's seen within the capacity of
Mahajaran. Is that okay?
So there. Below prema, so bhava on down, and then it's reflection into the material world. That's what you're dealing with in Mahatasa. That has to be. So either situated spiritually in Mahatattva or not. But that's going to happen there. Prema, that's what happens beyond. Because when it comes to prema, then one can function, one will be situated in the Tripada Vibhuti. But before that, then one will be in the Ekapada Vibhuti. Okay. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. Right? Because how is he dealing with the cosmic manifestation where he is there? Right? That means he as a person is beyond that. Because technically, how is he pervading everything? As supersoul. So supersoul does not mean the Bhagavan position. So that means as super soul he's pervading, mm-hmm. but as Bhagavan he's separate.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes. It's just like the boss is sitting in his office. Okay, you know, when you come in and you're late, and then you ask, you know, where's the boss? He's in the office. Okay, he can't see. Good. You know,
okay.
Or he's in his office. Oh, that means he already came through and saw I wasn't here. You know, whatever it is, but the boss is in the office. But at the same time, he's pervading everything in the office, in the company, right? So that's in the that partial, you understand, right? So then, when he comes out and just you know like comes around and says this has to be done, that has to be done, are you dealing with the personality, or you're just dealing with the boss?
Yeah, boss,
right? Does that make sense? But now you can go in and you know sit in the office, and then they'll find the personal. That's the difference,
yes.
Right? Now, sometimes you see boss may come out and be personal there. That's the lila avatars.
Yes.
But then that personalness is not the boss. That's the person. But that's why you have to be able to remember that. That's the subtleties in culture. That's why culture is important, is that you can deal with the person at the same time deal with the boss. Right? In other words, I don't cross any lines of dealing with the boss, but at the same time I appreciate and reciprocate with the person.
Yes.
When he chooses.
Yes, of course, according to taking that lead. But my point is that ability to do that, to follow authority, but at the same time to be able to relate to personality, that then the person can go the farthest.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, the person who can relate with the personality will be a good friend, but not work in the company. The person who can relate to the position, he can go well in the company. But now, who's going to go the farthest? You can be with both. If you're taking that scenario. Therefore, the devotees are coming here and preaching, and that, and they're the most dear. So Krishna makes that point in the Gita. Those who preach this, they're the most dear.
Yes.
The Purushas will be the impersonal feature?
No, Paramatma. They pervade by the impersonal. Because the impersonal is non-different from them anyway. So it's in other words, if the Lord is there, his effulgence is also there. So his effulgence pervades everything, and he manages it as Paramatma, as the Supersoul. But he himself is a person. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is a person, so he's beyond it all at the same time as the super soul of the universe, and as his effulgence, his Brahman, is pervading everything as the universal form. Therefore he's dealing with everything, but he's still separate as a person. Because it all rests not in him, but in his feature as Paramatma and Brahman. But as his feature as Bhagavan, they don't rest. At the same time as he's pervading everything. And everything rests in him. That's the thing, is that's what makes him God and us not, is all these contradictions. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, here's also here we get the flip again, you know, you always have the reverse, is that he himself
is contradiction, but he doesn't act contradictory. While the feminine, it's very straightforward, no contradiction, but the activity is always contradictory. Right? So there's common qualities, and but at the same time, the common qualities means that there must be the reverse. So where's the common ground? How you combine those, that's the activity. Therefore, you have to do something. Right? In other words, if you're doing something at home, there's no need of going anywhere for a vacation. Right? Otherwise, you just come home, sit down, everything's happening, all that. But to create that variety, therefore, one goes on vacation because something will be done. Because you've been at home too long, you don't do anything there. You know? Does that make sense? That's another angle. Then, of course, there's the element we discussed before, variety. So, it means if you're doing something at home, great. But still, variety, you need a vacation where you'll do something.
He needs a vacation.
He needs a vacation. Yeah.
Maharaj, so Paramatma pervades everywhere.
Yes.
And
Brahman pervades everywhere.
Brahman also pervades everywhere.
Yes, so therefore the door of no door. Right? The door, Paramatma, of no door, Brahman.
Yes.
Yes? Right. The door, the chi, of no door, li. Yes? No? Needs anything?
Huh? What did you just say?
That was like pure Chinese. Said in English. Yes? No?
Yeah.
That was the Tao. You heard it, Yi King?
I'm not Chinese.
No, but I'm saying of Yi King.
No.
Huh? That's how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Changing book, also called changing book.
Changing book.
Yes.
Yi King. In English you say Yi Ching. Yin and Yang.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it. We were discussing that was a very deep conversation. In Yin and Yang.
Relationship.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay. It's you've been doing this for years. It's 5th year, and now it gets down to the. Yeah, before it would be. It would take up a whole class.
Right. Paramatma realization, where is that on the coverings, the 5 coverings?
The 5 coverings?
Yeah.
They'll all be, you could say, within Vijnanamaya.
Okay.
Because you have the aspect of, because the point is it's the activity must be there, but then there must be the potential for it. In other words, I can do an activity when the potential for the activity is there. Like I can cook if there's a potential for it. It means there's a kitchen and ingredients.
Yes.
Right? And knowledge. Right? Yes. If I have knowledge of cooking, there's the utensils and the ingredients. So yes. The form is there and the activity is there. Mm-hmm. Then I can cook.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? But if it's not there, it won't be.
Yes.
So then that way you could say Paramatma is the masculine, Brahman is the feminine.
Yes.
So then if that's all there, then you can do things.
So does that
mean? So that's the top of this, is that's the joint between the two.
Yes.
Right? Because Anandamaya,
yes.
Or you could say it's the lower level of Anandamaya, meaning
yes.
The Brahman level.
Yes.
Means that you are situated there, you are realized in that. But at the same time it's still impersonal.
Yes.
That's the whole difficulty. Is it's situated in Brahman, though there may be an understanding of Paramatma.
Yes.
But it's you're either situated, yeah, because there's the person, and then there's the effulgence.
Yes.
Then you have that. That's
Okay, here's some fun. You have the person, you have their effulgence. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the thing is then that effulgence is pervading everywhere. Now, if you're going to get something to happen, means on the personal, the person does it.
Yes.
But within the material world, the Brahman is pervading everything. To get anything to happen, therefore, you must have a feature that is not the person, but at the same time has to be the person. Because you're going to deal with the effulgence. Krishna doesn't deal with the effulgence. He deals himself and the devotees. But here in the material world, you have to deal with that effulgence, because that's the basis. Right? Because you're dealing with the impersonal qualities that are here. So therefore, you have linga.
Yes.
That the willingness of the Lord to deal with his external potency.
Yes.
You understand? Because in the spiritual world, you don't need linga. Right? Because the Lord is, in the Bhagavan platform, interacting with the devotees. So therefore, it's only creating the situations in that form within the internal potency. So Balaram is simply creating the Dham and expanding in all these ways.
Hmm.
Right? So you're not dealing with inferior energy. So therefore, he gets it all done. But even there, we see he does it as an expansion. Does that make sense? He's the enjoyer. He's the Vishayi. Right? Hmm. Everybody else is Ashray, whether they're in Vishnu Tattva or in Shakti Tattva. He's the Vishayi. But so there's that expansion. Now, when you take that again, there's an expansion of the Vishay as Ashray, as Balaram, right? The Supreme Personality of Servant or Godhead. That then again, there's that expansion where that willingness to deal with the external potency. In other words, you're going to create the same facilities, but now within the external. So then there's an expansion again. That is Sadashiva. So therefore, the first one is Lord Chaitanya. Then the second one is Nityananda.
Mm.
The third one, or Linga, is Advaita Acharya.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So you're having the same principle. So does that make sense? So you either have to be situated in the personal or the impersonal. Because Paramatma is an aspect of the personal who's dealing with the impersonal. So it's not really a situation.
It's like fashion.
Yeah. It's in between.
Does that make sense?
So therefore, in that, then you have time,
yes.
Right? Then the modes, all these things come up so that you can deal. Does that make sense? It means the false ego.
Excuse me.
The time and the false ego, because you have to have that false identity to be functioning in Mahatattva.
That's Mahatattva.
Yeah. So that means, is that... Yeah. So... Yes.
So we had a discussion the other day about how Sadashiva looks, how many arms he has, this, that. So I immediately thought actually about Advaita Acharya.
Yeah.
I was thinking, that's how he looks.
He's got two arms. Yeah. And the other, then he's there is really within the Braj pastimes, he's guarding the Dham.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so he doesn't really take part there because there's no need, because Balaram's taking care of him. And, but his wife, Yogamaya, then she's there running everything. Because she's in all the pastimes. You don't hear about Shiva being in them. Sometimes he'll make an appearance just for fun. But he's not part of the scene because he's already there as Balaram. You know, but when we're here, we're dealing with conditioned souls. Therefore, he's here as a great achara. You know, or anything within the creation. When you're dealing with Mahatattva, then he's present.
So here he expands, and there he withdraws.
It's a matter of he is all these things simultaneously. So, in other words, if there's not the principle of, just like let's say the person is sitting there, right? He's just had his bath, you know, and everything. Now, what is he wearing?
Nice clothes, fresh.
No, he's just finished his bath. A gumption, right? Okay. We're talking about civilized humans. Yeah.
Actual humans.
Huh?
Actual humans.
Yes, actual humans, yeah. So, now, what could he be wearing?
His fine clothes.
No, yeah, I mean, just saying, one has a whole wardrobe. So the potential of all that's there.
right? Then there is the, you know, the process of dealing with all that. Then there's being in that, dressed in that way. So now, is being dressed in one way, is that different from the person who is standing in the gumshoe?
No.
That's not different, because in other words, the concept is there. The willingness is there. So for Krishna, he's not willing. He doesn't do. That's why Vasudev never deals. So the element that's dealing has that willingness is Sankarsha. So now, but same time, the Sankarshan being Vishnu Tattva, he actually doesn't deal either. So then that expands again, that willingness manifests as Sadashiva. Right? And then there's the grosser and grosser manifestation until you have the demigod who actually takes care of it. But they're still non-different on one level. Right? On that level of the Lord and his potency. But so that's why sometimes we see that we don't make a distinction between the demigod Shiva and Sadashiva. In other words, when he's in the mood of his devotee, then it's Sadashiva. When he's performing his functions as the demigod, then he's classified there. Does that make sense? So therefore that connection all the way through.
Yes. Is it through these expansions of Sankarshan that he is said to be the accommodating factor?
The accommodating factor is his Shakti, yes. So if it's attributed to him, then yes, because it's his Shakti that's accommodating. I mean, as Sesha, he has the accommodating potency. Because the point is in the spiritual world is there, but it's you get to the end of the line here, that's where we notice it. Do we talk about the accommodating potency in the spiritual world? No, but we talk about it here. So the last form of the Lord is Sesha. So that means, therefore, his counterpart is the that potency that can accommodate. Right? So he is the attractive feature, and then there has to be accommodation of that. It means you can only attract if you're in a situation. But what is being attracted must be able to be accommodated also. Does that make sense? So then you have the accommodation, you have the accommodating potency as Shankarshan. You have the attractive as Madan Mahan. I mean, as Madan Mahan, as Pajun. Right? So you have to have both of these elements. So you're always going to have, even between masculine and feminine aspects. So the Lord is Vasudeva is there, but his Leela, that's the feminine. So that means then all these other aspects are feminine compared to him, because he is the Visha, and the others are the Asha. So in other words, we get used to dealing in Tattva that makes it different from us and the material world and the Lord. So we can see these three. That's Sambandha Gyan. Then, when we're comfortable with that, situated in that, then we can apply this within rasa. Because it's the same principles. Yes.
Yeah. What's the relationship between Shiva and Paramatma?
Shiva and Paramatma.
Yeah.
What's the context?
I mean, Shiva is
the false ego, but the life that's Paramatma. Means the living entity is functioning under the false impression that I'm the controller and enjoyer. But how that's managed, that's Paramatma. So that's why when you give up false ego, you're not dealing with the material nature anymore. You're not dealing with yoga Mahamaya anymore. You're dealing with Krishna, you're dealing with yoga Maya. You only have to change that aspect of your mentality. All we're trying to do is get us to change from I'm the controller and enjoyer to I'm the servant. And my natural position is to please Krishna through love. That's all we're trying to do. But because there's unlimited facets how we've figured out I'm the controller and enjoyer, therefore the philosophy covers all those facets. Right, so I guess facets means the tattva aspect, and assets means the rasa aspect.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Vika Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai
Gaurudhanam. Is it true that we sometimes say that women are four times as clever as men?
Yes.
Someone was asking you for a praman for that.
Just look it up in the folio. Robert mentions it all.
I actually tried this, but it didn't actually get anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty standard. Everybody before knew all these things. Yeah. It comes from a Chanakya.
Okay.
It's in Chanakya.
Okay. I'll be unable to attend the afternoon classes from now on.
From now on?
Yeah. So I have too much work to do, unfortunately. So I'll be coming in the morning.
Even if we fix the fan?
Yeah, it's not so much that. Yeah. What to do?
Okay.
I was thinking maybe you can give another example than the grammatic one for my question about Prayojana and Abhideya, because I don't really get the grammatical example. Like
That means the point is that I deal with an object.
Yes.
I'm dealing with an object. And by that dealing, I get a result that's not neither me nor the object. That's what I'm saying. It's the result is separate from the two entities that are interacting. So that's what I'm saying is the result is not, the result meaning the physical result is not, or the transformation in the situation is not what's interesting to the Lord. It's the relationship between the person acting and the person that they're acting towards, mm-hmm. right? And as we said, you have to have the locative, the place. So as the place transforms. Mm-hmm. So now that new transformed place, that's where you perform the activity. Mm-hmm. So it's about the interaction. So that's why the Abhideya is the prominent, as opposed to the goal.
Yeah.
The goal is part of, means in other words, if you don't have a goal, how do you act?
The goal actually supports the activity.
Yeah, and if you don't have a situation, how do you act? Or you don't have knowledge, how do you act? You don't have inspiration, how do you act? So therefore, Sankarshan Prajumna Aniruddha support Vasudeva. Mm-hmm. So Vasudeva is the problem.
Don't get, you know, because it seems that the activity is the goal.
No, the activity is not the goal. You could say to be interactive is the goal. To taste rasa is the goal, but to taste rasa there must be an endeavor. So there's still something separate from that. It's the taste of it that is the goal. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the taste is in love of God. Therefore, love of God is in the prayojana.
Ah, okay.
But that's obtained through activity.
Yes.
So if there's constant activity, there's constant taste. If I do one thing and stop, there's not, that's it. But if I continually are doing, then there's continual taste.
Okay. Thank you.
But what we're meaning is it's the taste that Krishna's interested in, not the things, because he already is the things.
Well, that was what I kind of figured, but, you know.
Yeah.